tonight, we need to be grateful that God has granted us the degree of health, that we as individuals of like precious faith can come together in this capacity to sing, to pray, and to study. And we're glad that you're here. As I look across the audience, I see all future generations of young people. And it's always good to see young people in the audience, especially those who sit towards the front. A lot of places I go, I see the young people, and they're always in the back. And I believe that it says something about someone who sits in the front, about their desire for things of a spiritual nature. It's good to see all of those who have come tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 11, the Apostle Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." I want each and every one of you to know that that's my intention to simply speak the truth, to give you a book, chapter, and verse for everything that I wish to say. If you believe that something is said that's contrary to the Word of God, you'd be my friend if you'd bring that to my attention, that we might be able to sit down and study the matter together, and if it be the case that I have taught error, I will be more than happy to make the proper correction and never preach it again. But on the other hand, if you find these things to be so, which I believe you will, it's my hope and my prayer that you'll simply hear these words, you'll believe them, you'll obey them, and then you'll be active in teaching them to others. I appreciate so much the opportunity and the privilege of being able to stand before you tonight and speak to you concerning the gospel of Christ. I want to think with the time that we have about what Saul saw while blind. And as a basis for our study, I'm reading from the book of Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, where the story of Saul of Tarsus unveils. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now watch verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. While Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, he was blinded by a light from heaven. But I'm convinced that during the time that Saul of Tarsus was blind, he saw some things that you and I need to see tonight. And he saw some things that the world needs to see, and we need to help the world to see. And I want to categorize just a few of those for us this evening. First of all, as you think about what Saul saw while blind, Saul saw that one can live in all good conscience and still be in error. In religious matters, a lot of people like to let their conscience be their guide. There's just one thing wrong with that. You can let your conscience be your guide, but ladies and gentlemen, you can be guided into religious error. Saul was. You see, your conscience is only the substance of what you've been taught. You take a little child, and you teach that child it's wrong to steal, that when you go over to Brother Jones' house, you do not take that belongs to him. When that child goes to take something from his house and put it in his pocket, it's going to bother his conscience, right? Because it's been taught that it's wrong to steal. But you take that same child, and you teach him that it's okay to steal, that when you go over to someone's house, you can take that, you can put that into your pocket. When that child goes to take something, will that bother his conscience? No. Why? Because he has been taught error. We cannot let our conscience be our guide because our conscience is only the substance of what we've been taught. And we might have been taught error. In the book of Acts chapter 22 and in verse 4, the Bible says about Saul, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." And then the book of Acts chapter 8 and in verse 3. I want you to hear the fine words of this passage. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. In Acts chapter 7 and in verse 58, as Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned, Saul was the man who held his cloak. Tell me, Saul, when you persecuted the church, when you wasted it, when you delivered men and women into prison, did that bother your conscience? In the book of Acts chapter 23 and in verse 1, you know what Saul had to say? In Acts 23 and in verse 1, we have recorded the words of Saul. I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. Saul said, no, it didn't bother my conscience. And in Acts chapter 26 and in verse 9, he said, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You see, a lot of people think within themselves. Saul did that, and he was guided into religious error. But secondly, Saul saw while blind that a person can be zealous in his religion and still be wrong. You see, it takes more than zeal to be pleasing to God. In Galatians, the first chapter, in verse 13, Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, writes his letter to the church at Galatia. And in Galatians, the first chapter, and in verse 13, Paul says, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He says, ye have heard of my conversation. That word conversation simply means citizenship. Saul was a citizen in the Jews' religion. But Saul was not your ordinary religious man. He was zealous in his religion. Exceedingly zealous. In Galatians 1 and verse 14, Saul said, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more, now watch it, exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Saul, when you went and persecuted the church, when you bound those men and women and cast them into prison, were you zealous? He says, I was exceedingly zealous. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that we can see tonight, as Saul saw while blind, that you can be zealous and still be wrong. But I want to suggest to you another thing as we think about the man Saul and some things that he saw while blind. Saul saw the need for having the right source of authority. Let me ask you a question, Saul. Where did you receive the authority to persecute the church? Where did you receive that authority to bind men and women and cast them into prison? Did you receive that authority from God or from some man? In Acts chapter 26 and in verse 10, the Bible answers that for us. In the book of Acts chapter 26 and in verse 10, here's what the Bible has to say. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having, now underscore this phrase, receiving authority from the chief priest. That's where Saul received his authority. He received his authority from man. He received his authority from the chief priest. In Acts the 9th chapter and in verse 14, Saul goes on to say, the men said, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Saul received his authority from a human source. He received his authority from man, from the chief priest. And he saw while blind the need for having the proper source of authority. How about us tonight? Can we see that? When it comes to religion, do we have the right source? Do we go by what our conscience says? Do we go by what the preacher says? Do we go by what the elders say? Do we go by what some creed book might say? Do we go by the wisdom of men, or do we go by the Bible, the Word of God, because it is the source of our authority? In Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 18, Jesus said unto his disciples, all power or all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. You see, Christ is the source of authority. Everything that we do must be under Christ's direction, because he is the head of the body, the church. Christ sent his sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth. And as they wrote the truth, they wrote the Word of God. And when you and I pick it up, we are reading the authority of Christ expressed. And that, my friend, is our source of authority. Can you see that? Saul saw that while blind. How about us tonight? How's our vision when it comes to spiritual things? But I want to think with you about some other things that Saul saw while blind. And that is number four. That Saul saw while blind that the gospel is for all. Previous to this point, the people had only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were preaching the gospel on a limited commission to the Jews only. But now the Lord appears unto Saul to make him a chosen vessel to carry his name among the heathen or the Gentiles. In the book of Acts 9 and in verse 15, we have the record, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." In Galatians, the first chapter and verse 16, we read of the apostle's letter to the Galatians again. And he talks about the fact in verse 16 that he was sent to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The Lord appeared unto Saul for this purpose, because he was a chosen vessel. He was to go and preach the gospel of Christ among the heathen as well as the Jews. Saul saw that the gospel is for all. How about when we go out and teach the lost? When we go and work to our workplaces and preach the gospel, do we preach it to the poor man? Do we preach it to the black man? Or do we focus around certain people? The gospel is for all. There's not a person whom Jesus did not die for. There's not a person that Jesus did not invite to come unto him. The gospel is for all. And when we preach it, we must not preach it with respect to persons. Number five. Saul saw while blind that salvation is individual in nature. In Acts chapter 9 and in verse 6, our text for tonight, the Bible says, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Salvation is individual in nature. He didn't say, "It shall be told thee what thy grandmother will do, or what thy mother will do." You see, we all must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. No man can save you. Peter said in the book of Acts 2 and in verse 40, "Save yourselves." In the book of Numbers, as that great book was written, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 29, rather, "No man shall save thee." Salvation is individual in nature. It kind of reminds me of the Philippian jailer's question. When he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is individual in nature. But one more point in this lesson will be yours. Saul saw while blind what a man must do to have his sins washed away. In Acts 9 and in verse 6 again, Jesus told Saul, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I want you to notice that whatever Saul was told to do in the city, that it was a must. It was something that had to be done. If Saul was going to be saved from his sins, it was imperative that he followed the order of Ananias' words. But what was Saul told to do in the city? In Acts 22 and in verse 16, Ananias said unto Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul saw while blind that a man must be baptized to have his sins washed away. That's the reason the book of Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Baptism is a must. It's imperative. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had to be baptized. Why? Because it's a must if you're going to have your sins washed away. You know, I can pick up my Bible, and I can read all of these things about Saul of Tarsus. I can read how that he saw all of these things while blind. How about us tonight? I'm not really concerned about Saul because he's already lived his life. How about us tonight? With the degree of vision that you have, can you see what we've said tonight? Can you see that you have to be baptized in order to be saved? In order to have your sins washed away? Perhaps you're in this audience tonight and you desire to become a child of God. You've heard the word. Do you believe? You see, it's important that I believe. The Hebrew writer said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarded them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. We must believe, then we must repent of our sins. That involves a change of direction, a change of mind. Perhaps you're going down one way. You do an about face and go the other way. You quit serving sin and start serving God. Acts 2:38. Once you've died to sin, you repented of your sins, would you be willing to confess your faith? You know, the Philippian jailer said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon making that confession, we'd be more than happy to baptize you tonight so that you can have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But perhaps you've already done that in a primary sense, but you've drifted away, you've fallen away. Can you see that you need to come back tonight before it's everlastingly too late? You see, the Lord has promised to come again. If you're subject to the gospel call, would you come? Walk together, stand and sing.